WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a chilly new day here on the program. And it is chilly out there. I had my car said 15 degrees, but my car tends to be a little bit off. I don't know why. I mean, nothing's really right on my car. I've owned it now for just about, I think, 9 years. And it's always been 5 miles an hour off on the speedometer. And I know I could have probably gotten that checked out, but I just learned to just realize that I'm actually going 5 miles faster than it says. And I guess the temperature is pretty off too, because my WBSM app is telling me it's 9 degrees. When my car said 15. So, but this is what you're going to be dealing with the next couple of days. Single digit weather if you're waking up at this time. If you can stay in bed a little bit longer, I recommend it. But if you can't and you got to get up, well, do a few jumping jacks first. Get the blood flowing. I set 2 alarms. And actually, I set 3. But 2 of them are a half an hour apart. When the first one goes off, I roll over and I turn off the clock radio on the other side of the bed, knowing that I've got now about 25 minutes before the next one goes off. And in my mind, this is the most important 25 minutes of the day. And when I go to sleep at night, I sleep with an electric blanket because it's just me and the cat. The cat doesn't really need the heat to be too high. He lives inside a fur coat, so I don't want to keep the heat up overnight when it's just me. So I sleep with an electric blanket and a heating pad. So the electric blanket over me, the heating pad under me. I turn them both on when I go to bed. The heating pad kicks off after 2 hours. I'm nice and toasty and warm and I'm fine. This morning, I actually had to turn the heating pad back on when that 4 o'clock alarm went off. So if you are somebody that can stay in bed for a little while longer, I would recommend it. So 1,000. And I know some of you were already saying, I can't believe he's going to do this. Was he going to do this every day? Yep. I am. 1,460 days left. And I get that people, you know, are people who are Trump supporters are caught up in the euphoria of Inauguration Day. I think everybody is for their candidate. But today I want you to take a more realistic look at things. Today I want you to look at the actual possibilities of some of these things happening. For example, ending birthright citizenship, which is protected by the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which has been challenged at the Supreme Court level and upheld over 100 years ago. So what they're actually going to try to do is change the language, because they know that they're not going to be able to repeal an entire amendment. So they're trying to alter the language. But I don't think it's going to work. I think it's one of those things where even if it goes to the Supreme Court, and it probably will, it's pretty clear cut what it means. And if you are born in a country, you should be a citizen of that country. So I don't know where that one's going to go. I would guess probably not very far. And a lot of these other executive orders that were issued today, yesterday, he's got more planned for today. A lot of them are going to be challenged. I think the idea of declaring that there are only two genders is going to be challenged. And at least in terms of that language, because what you're going to have is you're going to have people that are going to challenge that legally by saying that gender is a social construct. Nobody's denying that there are two sexes. But gender is a social construct. And as such, it would be protected under free speech, the way that, you know, people want to misinterpret free speech. But still, it's protected under free speech under, I mean, just go back to the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. So that's going to face some challenges. And I think you're going to see a lot of opposition to many of what was issued. Now, some of it is, you know, some of it's just straight policy stuff. And straight policy stuff is, you know, the right of any president to enact an executive order on. And that stuff will go into place. And then the next time there's a president in there that doesn't agree with it, they'll sign executive orders that reverse it. This is the problem with executive orders now. Is it just becomes a game back and forth. I'm going to undo what you did, and then I'm going to do this. And then the next guy comes in. Well, I'm going to undo what you do, and then I'm going to do this. So until we have a consistent two presidencies of the same party, you're going to see that go back and forth. That's just the nature of how it's working now. I was going to use the term weaponized executive orders, but it's not really weaponized. It's policy. So I think you'll see challenges to a lot of what happened yesterday, but I think some of it, you know, people will look at and say, well, hey, you know, that's his right as the president to issue that. And there's not much we can do about that, but you're going to see a lot of opposition over the next 2 years, because now Democrats have 2 years to convince people that their side is the right side. And that's going to start on day one. Let's see, we got a call here. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I'm actually better than average. I unlike you, I enjoyed yesterday. I thought, I appreciate that you don't enjoy what happened, but I was enjoying it. To no end. The only thing I didn't like was that it was a trifecta if only Notre Dame had won. But I didn't get the Notre Dame game. But I did get the former president pardoning his family and the new president with all the ceremony at the inauguration. So let me
just ask you a question.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Let me just ask you a question. Did you watch? Were you able to visually watch what was going on?
I watched the actual inauguration and then the following couple of hours, and then I was on to the football game later at night, so I didn't get to watch the coverage of the inaugural ball stuff later on in the day.
So I only got to see clips because I was working while it was on, but I was listening because, you know, Barry was carrying it on the air. So I only got to hear it, but Did being indoors kind of damper the celebration at all, or were they still able to kind of have a really reverential ceremony?
Yeah, I think it did because it took so long that they had to coordinate everything, mm-hmm. that the people were there and they had the pool camera or the pool feed that we all got to watch, and you could tell the people, you know, whether you liked Trump or didn't like Trump, they went through the ceremony, and it took a long time to finally get there, and you could tell people were a little uncomfortable. Yeah, especially Barron Trump, who, if you remember, 8 years ago was a kind of a little kid kicking at his mom in the presidential box. I think when it was outside, he's about, I don't think he's 20 yet. He's a big kid, and you can still see he's kind of impatient with all this pageantry. But anyway, it's we go through this stuff. We didn't get to go through it quite the same because, let's face it, Donald Trump, the guy I voted for 3 times, left 4 years ago in disgrace, and he didn't attend the inauguration, and that was terrible. But it's a new dawn, as we say.
And I get a feeling that when weather is better and you don't even have to do it in the cold, you can even wait a couple more months now. But I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't want to hold a bigger outdoor thing somewhere down the line, which, I think would be fair because there's a lot of people that were upset that they wanted to go to this and they couldn't, or maybe they had already gone and they realized when they got there they weren't going to be able to attend. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's something that happens, that's more of what you were looking for sometime the next few months.
If he did, Tim, that it would be, some people would say that the biggest and greatest of all time. That's what people might say. But listen, my trifecta was that I missed out because the Notre Dame didn't win. When I got the news that President Biden issued those pardons, I kind of felt vindicated. That's the way I felt. I don't know if some of the listeners feel the same way.
And why vindicated?
Well, I always figured they were corrupt. His family, Joe Biden himself, and the pardons at the last minute really kind of made me, it kind of justified my fears. He wouldn't have had to done that. And he also, we did one more thing that I thought was kind of interesting. He explained it away as that the process is the punishment, having to defend yourself against the unlimited resources of the federal government to try to prosecute you and investigate you. Can you imagine what somebody without me, if one of us ever had that full force of the federal government after us, we'd be kind of almost compelled to take a plea deal, flip against our neighbors. I mean, even if it wasn't the right thing to do, how many of us would go to jail because we thought we were right?
But that's an extreme example because the government is not in the business of prosecuting people that didn't do anything wrong.
I think they were in the last 4 years, quite frankly. They went after their political enemies. And I'm just saying that President Biden justified the pardons to very rich people, his relatives, that they're, he mentioned the burden. I can't remember the exact words he used, but he talked about the burden that just being prosecuted, how much it costs to defend yourself.
Which I believe he thought was going to happen because he knew that Donald Trump would try to, do the same thing that he accused Joe Biden of doing, weaponizing the Justice Department to go after Joe Biden's family.
That's a theory. Do you have any examples of the 45th administration weaponizing the Justice Department?
No, but I have many examples of Donald Trump out there on the campaign trail saying that he was going to seek retribution on those who did him wrong.
Right. I know. Yeah, that's so. The only one who didn't, I think, who should have gotten pardoned who didn't was maybe Kathy Griffin, but the comedian. But I'm just.
What did she do wrong?
Oh, she was worried that she was going to go to the gulag if Trump won re-election.
Yeah, I think she was just being.
She was hoping to get part and just to kind of revive her career.
Yeah, she didn't really do anything wrong, and her career is just fine.
Oh no, with carrying the head. No, she didn't. But she, you know, it was, it, you know, she was not exactly. I mean, her. We're all entitled to free speech, and her career was ended by her free speech of carrying a mock bloody head of Donald Trump.
She's still selling out theaters.
Sorry?
She's still selling out theaters.
Kathy Griffin is?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know if you even heard of Kathy Griffin before this happened. Probably not, because you know.
No, I did. At different times, I thought she was pretty funny. She's on the Brooke Shields.
It wasn't like she was, you know, Andrew Dice Clay or Jerry Seinfeld or any of these superstar comedians when that happened either. So it's not like she was, selling out arenas and now all of a sudden she's playing 2,000 seat theaters. She's always been playing 2,000 seat theaters.
Yeah, she kind of got banished as far as she was off the CNN fired. If CNN has to fire you. You know, that ain't good.
I just think you're looking at that through a different lens. That's all. I got to hold you there.
But of all the people who got pardoned yesterday, some of them might be breathing a sigh of relief because they really believed that this vindictive Trump that they portrayed as the next, you know, Nazi threat to democracy was going to go after them especially. And of course, there's no evidence that Trump is actually, I think he's a gracious winner. He's a sore loser. But in winning and reassuming power, I wouldn't expect to see his political enemies face anything other than maybe ridicule, but not prosecution.
Well, we'll see what happens. I got to hold you there because I want to. All right. Have a good day. Mary, I saw that you were on hold, but you dropped off. Let me take a quick break, and then if we can get you in before the news, we will. Otherwise, I will talk to you in a bit. 508-996-0500. We will be right back.
Everywhere I go, people stop and they say, 25 years old, my mother, God rest her soul.
And welcome back in. That is Sugar Ray, and I always saw that line from Mark McGrath, you know, 25 years old, my mother, God rest her soul. I always wondered if that was also a little bit of a tribute to Gilbert O'Sullivan. Alone Again, Naturally. I wonder if that was, you know, while it's also autobiographical for Mark McGrath, I wonder if it's also, you know, a little bit of a nod to Gilbert O'Sullivan. Which I only knew because my mom used to listen to it in the car. Oh, man. She loved that guy. But as much as Alone Again Naturally makes me roll my eyes, that Get Down song is pretty good. So get down, get down, get down. And we're going to get down with some news coming up. And on the other side of it, we can take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemail messages on the WBSM app. Oh, yeah, we're going to get into what Elon Musk did yesterday, that's for sure. But there's also a lot of local issues we can talk about. Of course, the tragic fire that happened in New Bedford yesterday. A man in his 80s passing away, and the risk of fire being elevated because people are plugging in heaters and overloading electrical outlets and power strips, but also harder to battle because of these cold and icy conditions. So it makes the job of the firefighters even harder. So thankfully, no firefighters injured yesterday, but we did have someone who passed away and a number of people who were sent to the hospital as a result of yesterday's fire. And just as the photos and videos are being posted on social media, you could tell that this was not going to have a happy turnout at all. It was devastating. And the fire chief said that the building is most likely a total loss. I tried to drive by last night when I left here. I left here like almost 7 o'clock. Then I went to Walmart and did some shopping. So it's probably like 7:45. That I tried to go over there to take a look, and they still had the area blocked off as they were still battling hot spots and checking the structural integrity of the building. So they had Cogsall Street blocked off over by End Zone. So, all right, let's go into the newsroom now. Phil's waited long enough while I was rambling on. So we'll get an update on all the top stories of the day with Phil Devitt.
Donald Trump does away with January 6th cases hours after taking office. Billionaire wealth reaches new heights, and how your diet can protect you from harmful bacteria.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Within hours of becoming the 47th president, Donald Trump pardoned 1,500 people accused of storming the U.S. Capitol on January 6th of 2021, effectively ending all January 6th cases. Those people were at the Capitol protesting Trump's 2020 loss to Joe Biden. Trump now back in office for a second term. He's also commuted the sentences of six people involved in the Capitol attack, including Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio, who was serving 22 years in federal prison. Trump also signed executive orders Monday to beef up security at the southern border that began taking effect hours after he was inaugurated, making good on his defining political promise to crack down on immigration and marking another wild swing in White House policy on the divisive issue. Some of the orders revived priorities from his first administration that his predecessor had rolled back, including forcing asylum seekers to wait in Mexico and finishing the border wall. Others created sweeping new strategies, like an effort to end automatic citizenship for anyone born in America, pulling the military into border security, and ending use of a Biden-era app used by nearly a million migrants to enter America. Carrie Underwood rolling with the punches at the inauguration.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for
she sang America the Beautiful a cappella when the backing music failed to kick in. Cecile Richards, former president of Planned Parenthood, has died at the age of 67. Richards, the daughter of former Texas Governor Ann Richards, was a prominent advocate for women's rights and reproductive health care. She led Planned Parenthood for 12 years, navigating numerous political challenges. Richards was diagnosed with brain cancer in 2023. An 18-year-old British teen pleaded guilty to murdering three young girls and attempting to kill 10 others in a stabbing rampage at a dance class last summer. The attack sparked widespread rioting and anti-immigrant violence after the suspect was falsely identified as an asylum seeker. The government has launched an inquiry into how authorities failed to prevent the attack. Despite the teen's history of concerning behavior, the victim's families and the community still grappling with the trauma of the event. A new report from Oxfam reveals that billionaire wealth surged to a record $15 trillion in 2024, while poverty rates remain stubbornly high. The richest 1% now own nearly half of all global wealth. The report warns of the rise of unmerited wealth acquired through inheritance and powerful connections. Oxfam calls for increased taxation on the wealthy and stronger regulations on corporations to address the growing inequality. And a new study suggests that eating more fiber may help protect us from harmful bacteria like E. coli. Researchers found that people with higher levels of beneficial gut bacteria, which thrive on fiber, had lower levels of the dangerous microbes. The study, published in Nature Microbiology, analyzed data from over 12,000 people across 45 countries. While more research is needed, the findings suggest a high fiber diet, rich in fruits, veggies, and whole grains, may play a crucial role in maintaining a healthy gut microbiome.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics are headed west to play the LA Clippers on Wednesday, and the Bruins are in New Jersey on Wednesday to play the Devils.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Clouds and cold today. High of about 24 degrees on the South Coast. On Wednesday, mostly sunny and cold, a high of 24. And on Thursday, partly sunny, a high of 37 degrees. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
dream myself a new bounty, send a loan to New York City, and I don't know what.
And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And if you've never used the WBSM app, well, first of all, what are you waiting for? Download it. It's not owned by the Chinese government, so you can still download it from your app store. Or you can go to WBSM.com and you can put in your email address and it will send the app to your device. For those of you who want to just avoid using app stores, I know some app stores, I think both Google and Apple require it, where even if you're not going to pay for an app, they want you to put a credit card in just to be able to utilize the app store. Even though you don't plan on ever buying any apps, you only want free apps, they require you to put a credit card, quote unquote, on file. And some people aren't comfortable with that, so they don't use their app store. And if that's the case, if you just go to WBSM.com and click on the Listen tab and click on the app there, there's an option to be able to have it sent directly to your device so you can bypass the need for all of that. And also, if you do have it, you get live traffic, live weather. So when you're heading out the door, the app will tell you how cold it is, how long it's going to take you to get to work, since pretty much everybody's going to be back to work today. And it also gives you all of our great content. It gives you all of our great podcasts. And, of course, you can listen live, plus contests, so much more. And it's all brought to you by South Coast Towing. So that app is your key to everything that is WBSM. If you like WBSM, even if you don't like me, but if you like WBSM, you're going to want to make sure you have that app on your phone. It's also not a very big app either. It doesn't take up a lot of space like some of these other ones. All right, 508-996-0500. So the caller before had mentioned Joe Biden issuing pardons for his family. And he said, as part of that, that they have been subjected to unrelenting attacks and threats motivated solely by a desire to hurt me, the worst kind of partisan politics. Unfortunately, I have no reason to believe these attacks will end. And that's why he did it. And that's why he gave pardons to people like Mark Milley and Anthony Fauci, because he knows that they are on Donald Trump's enemies list, that they are among the people that will be targeted. And now for somebody like Fauci, you know, he's made enough money. He can afford to defend himself. But just the fact that he would be investigated and forced to deal with all of this over what apparently President Biden believes is, I'm going to use the term, a witch hunt. I totally understand why he issued those pardons, and I have no problem with them. I wish they didn't have to be issued, but that's on your guy, not mine. The guy who said on the campaign trail that he was going to seek retribution. Honestly, the only thing that surprised me about those pardons is that he didn't include more of his family. Like, does he really think that if Donald Trump's going to pursue this, that Jill Biden is off limits, his wife? Does he really think his other children would be off limits? We know that Joe Biden himself is off limits thanks to the Supreme Court's own decision. But still, that's what this is about. And it's about sending a message. It's not about the actual pardons unto themselves. It's about sending a message that you're standing up to the bullying tactics that Donald Trump has promised to employ. That's what it's about. It's not about, oh, they're guilty of something, and why do you need a pardon if you're not a guilty person? Because you've got somebody that's already said he's going to go after them. If somebody says, I'm going to show up at your house and beat you up, don't you make precautions against that? Don't you say, well, make sure the door's locked. Make sure you have your phone handy in case you have to call the police. When somebody says they're coming after you, you prepare for it. And that's what this is. So, you know, spare me all the righteous indignation. And speaking of righteous indignation, oh my God. If I saw one more person yesterday posting about how I hope all the hate and divide can go away now, when they were the people that were posting about Michelle Obama being a man, they were posting about, you know, Joe Biden being a criminal and being mentally deranged and Kamala Harris sleeping her way to the top. And if you were that person and now you are calling for unity, blow it out your ear. Could you be any more disingenuous? Here's the thing. If you were the kind of person that loved laughing at Sleepy Joe, and you loved laughing every time Howie Carr played all of his stutters and stammers, and if you like to talk about Kamala Harris sleeping away to the top, and all she does is laugh and giggle, and if you wanted to be that person for the last 4 years, get ready to have other people be that person to you now. What's the phrase that everybody uses now? Have the day that you deserve. Yeah, you're going to have the 4 years that you deserve. Now, granted, I'm saying that only to the people that did all these things. Not everybody who is saying, I hope this ends things, was that person. But a lot of you were. A lot of you were those people. So if you called up here and, you know, you called them names. And by the way, there is some level of humor that's appropriate. There's always going to be a baseline for cracking jokes about elected officials, politicians, people in the news. There's always going to be a baseline. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people that made it their entire conversation point and pushed it over the edge. The people who did it with hate, not with humor. And so when they get it thrown back at them, they're just going to have to deal with it. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Boy, Mr. Weisberg, you are so butthurt today, aren't you?
That's not butthurt.
Oh, I can feel it right over the airwaves.
That's pragmatism.
Listen, you should be grateful that you're alive in the world to witness all of this in your lifetime. The best president we've ever had is president again, and you can't handle it.
I will reiterate, Abraham Lincoln called. He wants his title back.
You think that it's okay for pregnant illegals to come through our borders, have a baby here, and the baby's an American citizen. If they came here pregnant, but they came legally, then yeah, the baby's an American. It shouldn't be any other way.
If you don't like that, then the way to fix that is to amend or revoke the 14th Amendment, not to sign an executive order that flies in the face of the Constitution.
Donald Trump's going to get it done.
I don't think so.
You don't believe in you don't believe in any retribution for all the things that these commies did to him.
No.
Oh, let him just roll over and just get over it and just forget it ever happened. No, it doesn't work like that.
You can't complain about how they did it to him, but then say it's okay if he does it to them. There's no moral high ground there, Mary.
You're looking at it the wrong way. You're calling it revenge and this and that. I'm saying
he called it revenge.
They caused a lot of trouble. They caused a lot of crap in this country, and you know it. You're a real communist, Mr. Weisberg. You are real.
You know, Mary, define communist, because I don't think you know what that word means.
Yes. First of all, to me, the biggest definition of that word is you are against your own country, and you have the.
That's not what communism is.
Yeah, yeah. You get on a slow boat to China. That's what you need to do. Take off.
I don't think you even know what a slow boat is, but
I don't think you know what communism is.
You have no idea what communism is.
Communist is a big word.
That you don't know the definition of.
Did all these things to him. They're all communists. They are traitors to their country. And Biden, he pardoned everybody and his family, his staffers and all the way down the line. You can't see through that, the reason for all that. I think you do. I think you see it. But you're so butthurt. You hate President Trump so much.
Nobody's more butthurt than a Trump fan who just won, but yet still has to worry about the guy that lost.
It was okay with you. All the things that his administration did and Kamala Harris, a laughing joke. Are you kidding me? I know that you see that.
You are a nasty person, Mary.
At what point in time in your life did your brain get so sick and twisted about America? What's wrong with you?
My brain is not sick and twisted about America. My brain is sick and twisted about people who try to use patriotism as a way to mask their own ignorance, their own stupidity, their own selfishness. And then they say, but I'm a real patriot. No, a real patriot cares about their fellow Americans and not just about themselves.
Come out. Give us the real reason why you hate Donald Trump.
Because he's an idiot. Because he's a moron. Because people like you blindly support everything that he says without actually listening to what he's saying. And you don't have the mental capacity to understand that he's lying to you.
I'm telling you, you should be grateful that he's president again.
I am not grateful that he's president again. I'll be grateful in 1,460 days when he goes away forever.
He's going to try to fix every bad thing that the Biden administration ever did. And we all know that Obama was behind it all. When they say,
God, here we go.
Biden pardoned all these murderers. Obama's the one that does. Biden doesn't even know what day it is. So let's blame the right person. Blame Obama. He's behind it all this time.
All right.
Can you at least admit that? Can you admit that?
No, because it's not true.
And you know it's not true because?
Because first of all, if he was behind it, I think things would have been better.
Better? How was it better when he was president? How was it better? He's the one that was turning races against each other. Starting trouble. He's the one that endorsed all this crap.
I don't remember white supremacists walking down the street when Barack Obama was president. I don't remember Elon Musk giving Nazi salutes when Barack Obama was president.
Oh, come on. That's laughable. Really? That is laughable. You should be thankful for Elon also. Yeah.
I am not thankful for Elon. I think he's the biggest piece of crap that's out there.
And because?
For a variety of reasons, he uses his social platform to push his own agenda, which got Donald Trump reelected in part. He's also a guy who has just taken credit for the work of a bunch of other people to try to make himself look like the smartest person in the world. And oh yeah, he's also a friggin' Nazi because he was giving Nazi salutes yesterday to a crowd of people.
It's laughable, I just told you. You need to see all of that. I did see all of it.
I watched the entire speech.
Okay. You still can't tell me anything good about Biden. I've been waiting, 3-4 years? Tell me something good about him and Kamala. Let's hear it.
He's a very handsome man.
That's all you have.
I just wanted to wrap it up in a bow. That's all. Yeah, I got to hold you there.
Thank you for taking my call. Have a great day.
Take it easy. All right. I got to take a break. I've got callers on hold. I will get to you. But right now I've got to take this break so I don't fall behind. We'll be right back. 508-996-0500. Let's go back to the phones. You're next on WBSM. Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Yeah? Yes.
Hey, what's going on, Tim?
How you doing?
Not bad. Trying to have an intellectual conversation, right?
You're cutting out a little bit on me.
Am I? Let me move around.
Better.
Is that better?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's try and have an intellectual conversation about the 14th Amendment. And the birthright citizenship. Now, I believe when a justice at the Supreme Court level or an appellate court would look at the amendment, I think they take into consideration intent of that amendment when it was written, the intent of the writers, the intent in the atmosphere, the environment that they were in, and when they wrote that. What was their intent? We know that their intent was to make slaves that were born on American soil American citizens. We know that that was the intent of the 14th Amendment. It didn't mean everybody who crosses the border and uses that as a loophole in order to gain entry for their children. We know that that's not the case. And I think that's where we have to really distinguish what a justice will look at when they're deciding whether or not you can revoke natural citizenship for specific illegal immigrants. Because when they wrote the 14th Amendment, it was specific for a reason. What do you think?
Well, but then there's also been numerous cases over the years in which that has been challenged and they found in favor of the people getting birthright citizenship. I think it was 1898. There was a person who was born to Chinese immigrants who were not here legally, who were not citizens. And that person ended up winning and was a citizen of the United States. So that set the precedent in 1898.
Right. No, I understand that. I think it's up, obviously, everything's always up to interpretation of the justices all the way up to the Supreme Court. But my take on that is the intent of the actual 14th Amendment. It was to protect the children of slaves. So the federal government or state governments couldn't just go to the child of a slave and say, "Yo, you're not a citizen, you don't have rights." It was to actually instill rights into these individuals who were forced into the United States via slavery. But if I just can't find it in myself, and I don't think anybody really should, defending an illegal immigrant who crossed the border specifically for no better term than pop a squat in over the border to have a child, so in 18 years they can have a sponsor to come over. I don't think that was the intent. I don't think we should defend that. I think we need to have that definitive conversation and define what the 14th Amendment is. And I think that's what the executive order does.
But you don't get to issue an executive order that decides what an amendment says. The only way that you can decide how to interpret an amendment is to alter, amend, or revoke the amendment.
Right. I understand that. But I think what Trump's intent was to start the conversation and maybe have a lawsuit filed. Somebody will file a lawsuit against the executive order to push this all the way to the Supreme Court to get a decision. Because if somebody doesn't agree with this executive order, the ACLU, we'll use them as an example, they will file a lawsuit and they will sue the federal government for that executive order. And then this will go up to the Supreme Court where we'll get a new decision going forward with maybe possibly a different interpretation of what the 14th Amendment was.
I'm just going to have to hold you there only because I got to take a break here before the end of the hour.
All right, Tim.
But thank you for the call. Take it easy.
You got it.
And let me get this one in. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Okay. Hey.